This morning, I want to continue my lesson and my messages on encouragement. And when I start this first part of it, you're going to say, that doesn't sound very encouraging to me. But my message is entitled this morning that, what did I write down? Isn't that great? I guess the title isn't that important. It's the power of God in His Son is the title of the message. And it's an amazing power that we have through God that as a believer, we can overcome so much that is actually, some people don't even understand how in the world we overcome the things we do. But we do through Him. And I'm going to begin in a passage most of you are familiar with in Romans, actually in chapter 1. I'm going to begin in chapter 1, verse 21. And after we go through this, I'm going to explain something at the end that doesn't leave us stuck in that place. It says in verse 21, "For they knew God, and they did not glorify Him as God or show gratitude. Instead, their thinking became nonsense, and their senseless minds were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of an immortal God for images resembling mortal man, birds, four-footed animals, and reptiles." In other words, they worshipped idols instead of worshiping God. "Therefore, God delivered them over in the cravings of their hearts to sexual impurity, so their bodies were degraded among themselves. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshipped and served something created instead of the Creator who is blessed forever." You notice where it says that, so their bodies were degraded. I don't think that people understand today so much that when we turn our bodies over to things that are not pure and in the Lord and are sexually wrong, it degrades us. And whether we realize it or not, that degrading has effect on us mentally and how we feel about ourselves, whether we realize that or not. And then it goes into verse 26. It says, "This is why God delivered them over to degrading passions. For even their females exchange natural sexual intercourse for what is unnatural. The males in their lust for one another, males committed shameless acts with males and received in their own persons the appropriate penalty for their perversion. And because they did not think it worthwhile to have God in their knowledge, God delivered them over to a worthless mind to do what was morally wrong. They are filled with all unrighteousness, evil, greed, wickedness. They are full of envy, murder, disputes, deceit, malice. They're gossips, slanderers, God-haters, arrogant, proud, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unmerciful. Although they know full well God's just sentence that those who practice such things deserve death. Not only do they do them, but even applaud others who practice them." And I think this whole picture is a picture of the depravity of man. The depravity when we reject God, and at some point God says, fine. If that's how you want to think, I'm not going to stop you from that. And people begin to practice. And today, as we look around us, we see so much of that. We see people that not only practice horrible, unjust things, but they applaud other people to do it. And they cheer them on. And, you know, that's just how Satan works. He always has. He always will. And this stuff, you know, when we're talking about this, this was written over 2,000 years ago. This isn't something, people think that our society has progressed to this point where we can do all things and enjoy everything. Trust me, if anything, it's regression. But this stuff was practiced 2,000 years ago. This is nothing new. All this stuff is something that sin's been in the world for all that time. But what does it say when we start chapter 2? It says, "Therefore, any of you who judges without excuse, for when you judge another, you condemn yourself, since you judge, you do the same things. We know that God's judgment on those who do such things is based on truth. Do you really think any of you who judges those who do such things do the same or escape God's judgment?" And you know, what's interesting about this is when he talks to all about all this stuff and it goes on, understand, this is pre-accepting Jesus Christ. This tells you the mind of a person that has rejected the Lord or is walking away. But every one of us can have that experience in that position where we say, I'm done and I'm ready to follow the Lord. And I'm ready to do what God has done for me. When I have sincere discussions with most of the men I know, we talk about many times just how far into depravity our lives went. And they did. And, you know, when you think about some of that stuff, I was talking to Frank the other day about my life well over a quarter of a century ago. And Frank said, I love hearing it every time you tell me that because it's such a wonderful testimony of what God can do. And all of us have been in a place that we don't want other people to know about in some point or in some fashion. And God rescues every one of us. And that's what he does. Help is on the way, folks. We just have to reach out and take that help. I want to turn over to 1 John chapter 1, beginning in verse 5. Now this is a message we have heard from him and declare to you, God is light, and there is absolutely no darkness in God or in him. If we say we have fellowship with him, if we say that we're walking with him, if we say that we're a believer, I'm paraphrasing here, and walk in darkness, we're lying or not practicing the truth. Some of your versions may say that you're a liar, but it does say you're lying and not practicing the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. That's what's really cool. If we turn to him, and we end up with fellowship with one another. I love that. I was, our area missionary posted a picture yesterday of him at one of our Nigerian Baptist churches, and he was standing there with a whole group of Nigerian men, and he said, this is what thrills my heart, to have fellowship with these brothers. These are guys from Nigeria. We have about as much as just not a lot in common. But there's one thing we share completely in common. A love for Jesus and that blood of Jesus Christ that saved us all from sin. And we are brothers and sisters in the Lord. And you feel that unity and you feel that camaraderie, even though in other ways, as far as our earthly ways, we're completely different. But that love is still there. And I've experienced that. And it's wonderful to experience that. And we all can experience that love. Christian, I want you to know today, if you're a true believer, you are never alone. We think that we're alone, but we have fellowship with so many people that we don't even realize. But we have to take that step out and realize it and walk that way. It says, if we walk in light, as he himself is the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus his son cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we're deceiving ourselves. And I think that's a pretty common thing today too, where people say, I don't have sin. You know, sin's not even real. You know, as long as I'm not hurting anybody, I'm doing what I'm doing, leave me alone, it's my business, it's my life, right? It says we're deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess I love this, just grab these words and hold them. If we confess our sins to him, not to Pastor Steve, if we confess our sins to him, Lord, I'm a sinner. I've sinned in my life. And I know that you paid for that sin. And I accept your free gift of saving me from that sin. And I desire to walk in the light. And I want you to help me to walk in that light because it's pretty tough for me in this broken, crazy, sinful world where I'm surrounded by it. And he will. It says he is faithful and righteous. Right doing is what that means. He's faithful and right doing. He always does the right thing. To forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You know when you do that, you are permanently, forever forgiven of the sin in your life? Isn't that cool? Hey, that's something I appreciate. Because I fall down every day. And I'm glad to know that sin is forgiven. We all make mistakes. We all have wrong thoughts. But see, it's a road we're on. This is never a sprint. It's a real long marathon. And you know what? I got to tell you something. You don't have to huff and puff and run this marathon. You can walk it. And you know what? He even provides drink stations and refreshment stations along the way. And he even gives us places where we can stop and rest and lie down and renew ourselves as we continue the walk of this marathon. That's the loving God that we have. He's not telling you to get out there and run and sweat and get sore and beat your head against the wall. That's not the kind of marathon he offers. This is a marathon that is marching towards glory. Marching towards the day when we'll be in heaven with him and along with all those people we're missing that are gone that known Jesus as their Lord and Savior. They're there. I think it's cool. There's a lot of people I want to see someday that have been with the Lord for a couple hundred years. Some over a couple thousand. Won't that be neat? But it says he is faithful. Not we're faithful. It doesn't say that we're faithful to take care of our sins. We can't, guys. We're broken. He is faithful. And we have to trust him to be that faithful one that takes that sin and cleanses us from it. And we walk with him and we walk beside him. He's the one that's going to sustain us. When we fall down, he's the one that's going to pick us up. We have to realize that. And then those people, remember, those other people that we're like-minded with and those other people we have fellowship with, they're going to come alongside and pick you up. But I have to tell you something today. You have to be willing to let them help pick you up. You have to be willing to accept wise counsel from other believers that want to help you. This isn't some place where we come and gossip and judge one another. This is a place where we come to get healed. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. Wow. Wouldn't you rather have before than after? Absolutely. I'm going to share somebody with you today. If I can find where I stuck him in here. He's in Luke. He's hiding from me. I had rather a lengthy passage today in 2 Corinthians, but it just isn't falling in today. So we'll spare you guys that passage today. But if you do get a chance, I will tell you that if you get a chance to read 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 16 through 5, 11, wonderful passage. Read that at home. I'm in Luke chapter 19. Wonderful story. I've used it before. And it gives you an example of what happens when that change takes place. See, this morning's message is about how God and his Son, Jesus, are in control and they work through the Holy Spirit in your life and the things that can happen. So I'm going to read about Zacchaeus. I love this story. Because of the transformation that takes place. It says in chapter 19, verse 1, he, being Jesus, entered Jericho and was passing through. There was a man named Zacchaeus who was a chief tax collector and he was rich. Of course he was. Because what they did was they had to give a certain amount of tax to the Roman governor. So he comes to your house and you owe 5 denarii on your taxes. Well, he's going to collect 8 denarii, and 3 are going to go in his pocket. And he does this everywhere. And if you argue with the tax collector, what's going to happen is you're going to get arrested by the Roman soldiers, so you don't even argue with the tax collector. In other words, they were crooked, real crooked. Not all the time. They did basically what they wanted to do. I am sure sometimes their heartstrings were tugged and they only took what they had to take. But they were not honest people. There's a man named Zacchaeus who was a chief tax collector and he was rich. He was trying to see who Jesus was, but he was not able because of the crowd, since he was a short man. So running ahead, he climbed a sycamore tree to see Jesus. You know, I was thinking about this today in my mind's eye, and I was thinking about it as in the eyes of Zacchaeus. And I'm seeing this guy, and there's all these people that are crowding the road to Jericho, and they're wanting to see Jesus, and here's this short little, wouldn't you think he was probably bald, maybe some stuff on the side, and he was just a little mean looking little tax collector, and he's probably got bowed legs, and he's trying to see. But then he realized, I thought, maybe, it didn't say this, but maybe he realized too, you know, I, in a crowd like this, as crooked as I am and as despised as I am, it's probably kind of safe I get up in a tree. Along with not being able to see, maybe he just didn't want to get elbow to elbow with that crowd. Last week I was at an Amish auction, and all the Amish guys, it was an Amish family, so they're mostly Amish there, and there must have been 60 or maybe 100 of them, and they were shoulder to shoulder. You weren't moving anywhere to get around them and even see what was being sold. But I went in there and I kind of moved through them with my head and shoved them out of the way, and I went right up front. So it's kind of a Zacchaeus thing. They didn't have a tree, so I couldn't climb a tree. But anyway, I can kind of understand this. But it says he's trying to see who Jesus was. He's not able because of the crowd. Since he was a short man, so running ahead, he climbed a sycamore tree to see Jesus. He was about to pass that way when Jesus came to the place. And he looked up and he said to him, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, because today I'm staying at your house. Wow. What went on here? First, Jesus already knew he was there. And he calls him down, Zacchaeus. He's like, yeah, that's me up here in the tree. Come on down today, I'm staying at your house. So here's the crowd, and the thing, wait a minute, that crooked little jerk's up in that tree, and then Jesus, this wonderful master, this man, this prophet that has been healing everyone and doing all these things, and you know, many believe he's the Messiah, and he's going to go to the house of this crooked little tax collector to eat. Yes, he is. And he'll come to your house too. Jesus was not looking for somebody in fine robes that already thought they were good. Jesus was looking for the broken to be healed. And that's who he looks for with you and with everyone else. See, before we can be healed, we have to be broken. Do we realize that? Before we can be healed, we have to realize how small we are. And Jesus called him out. But there's another key thing that happened here. Zacchaeus, so he quickly came down and welcomed him joyfully. When Jesus calls you out, he calls you to welcome him joyfully. Not to come with apprehension. Not to say, do I really want to do this? To say two words. Yes, Lord. And your entire life will change. In that minute that you say, yes, Lord, your entire life will change. You now are free from sin. Your sin has been paid for. You can hear God's word. You have the Holy Spirit guiding and directing you in your life. But you have to say yes, Lord. And it's such a sad thing today when you think about it. That's all people have to do is accept the Lord. But you know, they just keep striving and striving for those things they think will want to make them better. Yesterday, I was in a carryout in town. Not a carryout, a gas station. And I walked in, and I'm clear back at the door. There's a line in front of me. And I'm going up to the counter, and almost every person in front of me had a load of beer, and were already half in the bag, if you know what I mean. And I'm looking. listen to their conversation, they're talking back and forth, I'm thinking to myself, what a broken life we have in this world. And then I thought to myself, on top of that, half of them were buying stocks of lottery tickets. And I'm saying to myself, don't you have kids at home that need fed? Right? Not all of them, but these thoughts are in my mind. I'm not hating these people. I'm feeling for these people. And then I thought to myself, there are hundreds of thousands of these carryouts all over the United States right now that are experiencing the same thing. And I'm thinking, Jesus is right here, and he'll give you everything you need. And as you grow in the Lord, you become more satisfied in your life. You don't need those things that pull you back and that pull you down. Zacchaeus stood there and said to the Lord, look, he's convicted here. This is not what the rich young ruler did. When Jesus said, sell all you have and give to the poor, and he left unhappy because he just couldn't see himself doing this. This is a little ugly, mean, nasty Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus stood there and said to the Lord, look, I'll give half my possessions to the poor, Lord. And if I have extorted anything from anyone, I'll pay back four times as much. So now what he's saying is, not only will I up front give half of everything that I have to the Lord, but I'll take the remaining half, and whoever I've extorted from, I'll multiply it four times. Zacchaeus was willing to say, Lord, I'm willing to start over fresh and barely have anything left, but I need to do what's right in my life. Then Jesus told him, today salvation has come to this house, because he too is the son of Abraham, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save those who are lost. Not those who think they've already got it, not those who think they're good enough, not those who think, I don't need the Lord, I've got all this on my own. Those who are lost. If you have not surrendered your life to the Lord today, I will tell you something, you're lost. And you need the Lord. People think, oh, but my life's going to change. How's my husband going to react? How's my wife going to react? How are my relatives going to react? How are my friends going to react? It doesn't matter. What matters is how God reacts. And he saves your life and changes your life. Every one of us are going to stand before the Lord one day. Every one of us. And we're going to stand there in joy, or we're going to stand there shaking and afraid. Which one are we going to be? I want to read something to you this morning. I was reading devotion with Shirley this morning. I hope she doesn't mind me bringing our devotional into church that we're using, because she's going to have to remind me to take it back home so we'll have it in the morning. It's one of the devotions that I've posted these periodically from Sarah Young. They're just wonderful, encouraging devotions. They're just strengthening. But I want to read this one for this morning. I am light. In me there is no darkness at all. I, your God, am perfect in every way. There's not even an iota of badness in me. You live in a world where evil and ungodliness run rampant. Isn't that true? But remember, I am the light that keeps on shining in the darkness. Nothing can extinguish or even diminish the perfection of my everlasting radiance. Folks, I want to tell you something. No matter what you're going through today, that light is there. God is your light. He is there. Nothing can extinguish that. You have to look for it. Sometimes you're busy and everything's going around you, but you have to look. He's there. He's there with his arms out all the time. And why in the world that we choose to walk down that path of pain and sorrow and discouragement and unhappiness and unsurety and not knowing where our life is going and keep all those things on ourselves when he's right there saying, I want to rescue you from all that. but we do it. And we stumble and we fall. And then, you know, those of us who are believers, we wake up, what was I doing? Sorry, Lord. I went down that road. It ruined me for 2 days, a week, maybe even an hour, maybe 10 minutes, but you don't need to go down that road at all. He's right there. He says, I'm the light that keeps on shining in the darkness. Nothing can extinguish or even diminish the perfection of my everlasting radiance. What's everlasting mean? It never goes away. Someday you will be able to see my brilliance in all its glory. And won't that be a wonderful day? When we see God's brilliance in all its glory. It may not be something we quite comprehend in our head right now, but he promises us it's going to blow your mind. In all its glory, and you'll experience unimaginable joy. Now, all of us have been happy before and felt joy and been excited. Some event in your life is just wonderful. Everything works out well for a moment. Maybe for a young lady, it's when someone asked them to marry them. Maybe whatever that joy is. Think of the joyous moment in your life. But this says you're going to experience unimaginable joy. You can't even imagine the joy you're going to experience. And guess what? That is a promise from God. He can't lie. He can't even shade the truth a little bit. For now, though, and this is what's tough for many of us as believers, for now, though, we have to live by faith and not by sight. We have to live knowing these things because what we see is a dark world around us. What makes us stumble and gets in our path are dark events around us. People many times say, God, if you're there, why do I have to go through this? Well, there's many answers for that. But the simple answer is because we live in a fallen and broken world. That's the world we live in. That's why we need Jesus. Jesus doesn't cause the bad in this world, but he's there to rescue you from it. When the events in this world or your private life are threatening to unnerve you, you remember that, huh? The events of this life, I just can't take it anymore. This went wrong and that went wrong. I was expecting this and got that. Or whatever, sometimes you have all that you can take and you're just ready to unravel. It says, when the events of this world or your private life are threatening to unnerve you, grasp my hand in trusting determination. Grasp the Lord's hand, she says, grasp his hand in trusting determination. Lord, I'm going to trust you no matter what I'm going through, no matter what's in front of me, no matter what's being thrown at me, I'm going to trust you anyway. And you can find all kinds of passages in the Bible that back that one up. It's that trusting determination. Refuse to be intimidated by evil. Instead, overcome evil with good. Isn't that tough sometimes? Sometimes doesn't evil want us to get vengeance? He says, overcome evil with good. Do what's good. Do what's right. I am with you. He says, I have won the ultimate victory through my crucifixion and resurrection. Isn't that true? You know, it's really, Satan's not, he's clever. But he's fallen and he's broken. Here's Jesus going to the cross. Oh, he's finally going to get rid of this Jesus. Offered him the whole world, didn't he? Remember the temptation of Jesus? Offered him the whole world. Jesus dies on the cross. And guess what? Satan was defeated forever. Sin was defeated for permanently. For you and for me. Through Jesus' sacrificial death on the cross. Folks, you don't have to pay for it anymore. It's paid for. That alone should be a reason to worship and follow a holy God. Can you imagine if someone in this world, just in this world that we live in, saved your life? gave you the most wonderful gift in the world. You never stop talking about them and how glorious and wonderful that person is. Can we please do that about Jesus? Can we? Nothing will be able to undo these awesome events that puncture the darkness so that my dazzling brightness could break through and pour into the hearts of my followers. She hits that one on the nail on the head. Nothing can stop that. Nothing can stop Jesus from filling your heart when you say, "Yes, Lord, I'm done. Not my will, but yours be done." I can think of two events in my life where I made unbelievable decisions. One, and I know the places. You know when something really affects you, you can still remember everything, where you were and what went on. One event was when the Lord really touched me concerning my family and what kind of father I was. And I remember the exact moment. And the exact moment that I made a decision that, you know what, Steve, it isn't about you, it's about them. It's about your family. You got to do everything that you can through me to be the father you're supposed to and be the husband you're supposed to. And you got to suck it up and stick it out. The second event followed that later. When even though I knew the Lord as my Lord and Savior, I had not been following Him, I had been doing it my way. And through many successes and subsequent defeats, and more successes and more defeats, I finally said one day, and I remember right where I was at that moment too, it'll never leave my mind, I said, "Lord, not your will, my will, but yours be done. Lord, I am tired of being defeated. I am tired of thinking that I can make this wonderful world my own way. I am a loser when it comes to life. Without you, I've lost. And with you, I have victory. So Lord, you take the reins, you do what you want done, and I'm going to follow from this point on." Now, have I stumbled along? And most of you know me, that my drive Shirley crazy. We go down the road and I'm saying, "Hey, look at that over there," you know. I have ADD horribly. and ADD's in my life too, and it's real easy for me to be on this wonderful path and go, "Hey, look over here." And that's happened before, and I got to go back to the Lord. I said, "Lord, I'm sorry, I got off track for a minute." Yeah, here we go. But He has so blessed my life, and that's what Frank was talking about the other day when he said, "I love hearing your testimony, because what the Lord has done from this point to that point is nothing short of miraculous. My kids can be a testimony of that. They lived it from the time they were little. And sure, they can be a testimony of that." But those events stick out of my mind because God said something. I listened and I reacted. Let me ask you a question. Are you reacting today? Is God telling you it's time for a change in your life? Is God telling you, "Hey, it's time to let go and let God"? I pray that it is. And I pray that if you've already let go and let God, you keep right on keeping focused on Him. And renew it today. Renew that decision, that determination. Say, "I'm going to do, Lord, what you want me to do in my life, regardless of what anyone else around me says or thinks." I want to tell you something, Christian. If you have a spouse at home that's not following you on this, and you follow anyway, God will bless and God will honor you. Please don't turn your back on the Lord to keep someone else happy. That will never, ever, ever work. But through God working in your life and them seeing the difference in your life, the Bible says maybe they will come and accept the Lord also. And that's the best hope we can have. We will never, ever, ever win somebody over by bowing to what they're doing in sin. And the last line of her devotion says this: "Spend time basking in His holy light, for my face is shining on you." Do you want to know something? The face of God is shining on you. And let me ask this question. Are you turning to look at it? Are you turning away from it? All you got to do is turn and look at it. Young people, I got to tell you something. Wow. I wish that I'd made these decisions when I was your age and stuck to it. I know that God used my life and he molded my life, and even all the bad things, he has used in some way, because God takes bad and makes it usable, because that's what he does. He is the master sculptor. He is the master. He takes that clay and you're malleable. He forms you into what he wants you to be, and he can take those bad things and use them. But it doesn't mean they didn't cause years of grief and struggle and guilt and shame at the time. And I think of the time that I could have been serving the Lord and the people I could have reached for Jesus Christ, and I didn't, because it was all about me and what I wanted. And it took me several years to realize that it is not about me. It can't be about me. When you have the love of God in your life, it is always about how can I serve others through God. It's not about you and what brings you joy. But here's the neat thing. When you decide that you're going to follow the Lord and let him use you and love other people, he gives you the blessings of your life and the things that you are going to fight and struggle so much for. He brings them into perspective so that you can truly enjoy them the way he meant for you to. Not just something you're grasping and holding on to, hoping you won't lose it, hoping that the next thing won't come around the corner and take it. But what he gives you, he gives you and says, this is how I want you to enjoy it. With that, we'll close. Thanks for the heads up, Ray. I'll tell you a quick story. And then I'll close just real briefly. I was filling pulpit years ago before I had a church after I'd gone through school. And I was and association was calling me to fill in at different places where they didn't have anyone. And I went to this little church, and this little old man comes up to me. He says, now listen. He says, you know how long you're going to be? I said, no, I didn't really think about it. And he said, I'll tell you what. He goes, when it's time for you to be done, I'll give you one of these. And he said, because the restaurants around here start really getting crowded about 11:45. And he says, if you go any longer, people are really going to get upset. So I got on a roll, and he gave me one of these, and I kept right on going. And let's just say I was never called to that church, but I'm sure they got to the restaurants on time. Gracious Heavenly Father, thanks for this day and all you've given us. Lord, I pray that today is the day that we surrender our lives to you and say, today, Lord, I'm going to walk with you. I'm not going to be discouraged. Lord, I know even when we make those decisions, discouragements come, but that's where the point of determination comes into. And we're not determined by our own will, but the determination is to keep our eyes on you and keep our lives surrendered to you. And Lord, I ask that you lay on our hearts the desire to do that, and that people will make that decision to do so. I do pray for all of our families here today. I know that we have so many dynamics going on in so many different families and so many struggles. Lord, I just thank you for the love that you have for them. And I know that they're here today for a reason. And I know that you brought all of us here today for a reason. Lord, let us honor that reason and follow you. Thank you for your love and grace. And it's your name we pray. Amen. Can I have